You have to have a degree in electronics to preach anymore. Well, I bid you a pleasant good morning. I'm so glad to be a part of you. I'm glad that we raise the cup together, break the bread together. I'm glad that we have a common hope. I'm glad that we reach out to the same risen Savior. I'm proud you meet here. I'm proud you care about one another. I'm proud to see some of the people holding hands with their wives, hugging their children. We are fortunate people because we know Jesus. It binds us together. Do you have any idea the closeness that it binds? It's wonderful. It's eternal. We enjoy a common Savior. We look forward to a common existence after the resurrection. What a joy. It's a pleasure to be with you. Wonderful song service this morning. I want to say something. Do you know how fortunate you are to have such leaders as you have here? Men who genuinely care about God, who will take their time and expend their energies, pray their prayers for you and for your good spiritual sustenance. You have good men here. I love them. They love you. I'm just glad to be a part. Thank you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, so that things which are seen are not made with hands, and things that do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than did Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his faith, but he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For whoso cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became the heir of righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive, received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and were persuaded of them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and Rachel, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months with his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time befell me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and in caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Man says, seeing is believing. God says, believing is seeing. Man says, seeing is believing. God says, believing is seeing. Faith is not some difficult, hard-to-tell thing. Faith is common to the human family. We're born with a sense of right and wrong. We're born with free moral agency. That is, we're free to act. We're free to understand or reject. We're free to have faith or reject. We're free to reason. We understand how to reason. Faith is a reasoning process. What happens is, certain information is presented for your consideration. Certain evidence is given in support of the facts. If the evidence in support of the fact is strong enough to support, in fact, the facts, then it produces faith. That's how we get it. When Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he is simply saying, then you have to have faith that Jesus was the resurrected Christ. In the final chapters of the book of John, we're told many other signs truly did Jesus in the midst of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when I came to you, I came not with 1 Corinthians 2, I'm sorry. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech nor of wisdom, declaring in you the testimony of God. For I delivered unto you that which was first of all delivered unto me, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, that he was buried and resurrected again the third day, according to Scriptures, then the seen of Cephas the 12. Now he's done all that, 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 15, that your faith should not stand in men, but in the power of God. Faith is necessary. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now I want to ask you a question. How long has it since it's been since you just got rid of all the impending problems of life? All the distorting things that happened in raising a family or doing your work? Just separated yourself from all the problems of life and got off and read out loud. Did you hear what I said? How long has it been since you read aloud? The Ethiopian nobleman, when he was riding along, was reading the scripture out loud. We need to read Ephesians 3. We need to read John 16. We need to read all these passages of scripture out loud. You need to get by yourself and just read out loud. If you read Hebrews 11, I want you to notice what you say about faith. In the first verse, things not seen. Third verse, through faith. Fourth verse, by faith. Fifth verse, by faith. Sixth verse, without faith. Seventh verse, by faith. Seventh verse, things not seen. Eighth verse, by faith. Not knowing whither he went. By faith, sojourned with a promise. Heirs with him of the same promise. By faith in nine. Verse 10, look for a city through faith because he judged him faithful with promise. Verse 13, these all died in faith. They have been seen afar off or persuaded of them. By faith, 17, Abraham did what he did. Accounting that God was able to raise him up by faith, Isaac. It's in every verse. Faith is an important consideration. Now, how's your faith? Do you imbibe the refreshing riches of God's gospel regularly, knowing that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God? Are you constantly trying to build your faith? Does your faith reach off into the future and attach itself to what God has given? Does your faith bring hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your hope reaches off into the future and attaches itself to that which you believe is there, and have a warm expectation of receiving. That's what faith is all about. What you do in Hebrews chapter 11 is you walk through what I call God's hall of faith. God's hall of faith. You ever go through a hall of fame? We went through the football hall of fame one time. It was interesting to me. I'd give anything to go through the baseball hall of fame because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool baseball fan. You see all the great baseball players. In Hebrews chapter 11, you see the great heroes of faith. Here, I want you to walk through there with me. See their pictures. See their pictures. First of all, you see a picture of Abel. He's offering his sacrifice, offering the future to God. You can see him through the trees. You can see him in the mountains behind him. You can see the cars over, the clouds overflowing. And you see him there offering his sacrifice as kindly and as efficiently and with as much passion as he can. Move on down to the next picture. You don't see Enoch. You see a hole in a cloud. The artist depicts this picture and it's a big cloud with a hole in it. Enoch was taken because God pleased God. And he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You see his picture there? Third, move on down a little bit further. Look at Noah. I have Noah on the top of a sawed-off sycamore tree, preaching to the people around there. They're all scowling at him. They're all making fun of him. They don't hear what he's going to say. They don't want to hear anything. He's talking about things that have never happened before. They have no faith in what he says about God. They have no faith in what he says about punishment. They have no faith in his hand. So you can see them. See the snarl on their face? See that one with the pump nose? See that one with the hairy head shaking his head? Can you see them in that picture? That's what you get in Hebrews chapter 11. You see Noah, a preacher of righteousness, verse 23 says. A preacher of righteousness. Move on down a little bit further and you see Abraham. Maybe you see Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees. He's about to enter in his activities as a Bedouin prince. So you see him in the tabernacle. You see him just looking for the sheep and doing what he did, making his way. Abraham, a man of God, a man of faith. You can move on down a little bit further and you see Joseph. I have a picture of Joseph as he runs away after he's being tempted. And that picture is, he did it by faith. He was not tempted. Move on down a little bit further. You see Moses. Moses standing on the side of a mountain, a little hill, overlooking the sea. You hear him almost saying, his hairy head, his hoary head, his mouth opens. He says, "Stand back and see the power of God." You can see it in the picture. My wife says Moses is her favorite Old Testament character because he looks so much like Charlton Heston. Moses, the man of God. And then you come to the last one. The characters in the last one are faceless. There's always one picture of the unknown soldier. These are the people. You know, when Jesus was crucified, it's amazing to me what he did. I just can't imagine how I would have done that. I couldn't have done it the way he did it. The people mocked him. They hit him. They blasphemed the name of God in his presence. They put a crown of thorns on him, drug him all around, hung him on a cross suspended between man and God. He died there, despicable death, horrible death. He was resurrected. When I was resurrected, if I had been him, I'd have gone to the top of the tabernacle of the temple. And I'd have had a PA system the like of which nobody ever envisioned in all his life. And I'd have said, "Look at me. See my hands, see my feet. I'm here. You crucified me." I would have gone to the temple and I would have taken all of those judges and all those scribes and all those Pharisees, and I said, "Look at me." He didn't. He appeared to some women. He appeared to two little old men on the road to Galilee, on the road away from the cross of Galilee, on the road to Emmaus. He never leaves out the simple people. And in this hall of faith, which you read about, listen to him. He says, "Time will fail me to tell of all these others. What shall I say more about Gideon, Samson, David?" And he goes down and he comes on down and he says, "And others," verse 36. "And others," which others? He doesn't say which others. They're the ones that were sawn asunder, were tempted to sign with the sword. God always looks after the little people. I'm glad for that. I'll tell you what I am. I'm a nobody, but God knows my name. And if you're a child of God and you have faith in him, your faith reaches off to the pinnacle of success in life, that simply means that you're approved by God. He knows who you are. He called, can you believe that? God spoke the universe into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And yet he says, "D. Bowman is my child." Wow. Faith is a tremendous thing. Hope is a tremendous thing. Hope reaches off into the future. attaches itself to something good. I want to read something, if I may. I wrote this some time ago and talked about this business of hope. Hope is described as emanating from faith. Faith is the substance, what stands under our faith. Hope is what stands under our faith. Watch, please. It's like a rope attached to an anchor and tossed from here to the very throne of God. When you're down and out, and no one seems to care, pull on the rope. When you've voluntarily lost your way and everything seems blurred, let your faith speak and pull on the rope. When depression seems to be your lot and you call out and no one answers, pull on the rope. When your friend turns and no longer walks with you, pull on the rope. When there's bad news on top of bad news, pull on the rope. When you're tired and it still must be done and you feel like you can't go on, pull on the rope. When time has eroded your health and time makes you feel bad, and this time it's worse than ever, pull on the rope. When you suddenly realize it's your fault and "I'm sorry" seems to stick in your throat, pull on the rope. When shame and disgrace have cast you into a pit of despair and no one seems to care, pull on the rope. When death has come and robbed you of someone near and dear, pull on the rope. And when you finally come to have to face your own mortality, pull on the rope. Faith produces that hope. We have no hope without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've said all that. I'm through with the introduction. Two people just fainted in the back. Pull on the rope. Listen to chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand at the throne of God. That is Christianity. That is being a disciple of Christ. That is pure faith working. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, he says, it's like those witnesses that watched the big races in the time of the Olympics back in those days. Seeing we have all these witnesses, which witnesses? The one he just described. Some people says they own a cloud and they look down. I don't know if they do or not. I know they're witnesses of our faith. Since we are compassed about, completely surrounded, compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. As far as the eye can see, cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. First of all, let me say something to you. Let us draw strength from those who went before us. Draw strength from them. Those things were written to ennoble our faith. Those things were written to strengthen our faith. Let us draw strength from the witnesses that went before us. You know who's pulling for you? Job. You know who's pulling for you? Elijah. You know who's pulling for you? Noah. Moses. Joseph. They're looking for you to run the race. They look forward to what you've already looked backward on. Let us draw strength. Strength. They motivate us. They must motivate us. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen, that the word motive is kin etymologically to the word motor? Faith motivates us. Excuse the pronunciation. Faith causes us to go on forward. It energizes us. We draw strength from knowing that these people did what they did by faith. Look at it again, over and over and over. It says they were compassed about with all kinds of difficulties and problems, and they went on with their faith. Their faith sustained them in times of duress. Their faith sustained them when there was wickedness in their midst. Their faith kept them going forward. It motivated them. It kept them going. Let us draw faith, draw strength, rather, from the faith of those disciples who went before us. Secondly, may I suggest to you, let us rid ourselves of all encroachments and run with patience the race that is set before us. Run without, let us lay aside every weight. Spent my early years in radio and television. I know you can't tell it now. I used to have dulcet tones, big old pretty voice. It disappeared. It's okay though. I can still say the words, and that's all that's important. But I used to work in radio and television, and it was with the folks. It was with the folks out of Texas Tech in Lubbock. And the sports information director there was a good friend of mine. And there was a coach there that had developed a series of weights. He used to be a coach there. He had taken some tarpaulin, some cotton sack material, and made little packages out of it, little packets. And he filled those up with buckshot, and he put buckles on them. He put them on the ankles and on the wrists of the athletes. And when they ran, they had to trudge. But when they took them off, they could fly. It's called Elmer's weights. He says, let us lay aside the encumbrances. The training's over, if that's what he meant. If the encumbrances are our own personal problems and difficulties, let us lay them aside and run. Get rid of the things that get in your way. Are you having trouble attending? Get rid of that. You having trouble reading your Bible? Get rid of that propensity. Lay aside the weights, the sin which so easily besets us. It keeps us off course. We got to be going straight. We got to be going strong all the time. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and gets us off course. Keep on keeping on, as we said earlier. Keep on running. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with endurance. Run with patience. Patience. Keep on keeping on. Don't let anything get in your way. Patience. Endurance. It's going to be hard. An athlete trains, and he'll tell you quickly, no gain is going to be made without some effort. No pain, no gain. You have to keep on trying. Work at it. Strive. Be diligent. Be committed. Be focused. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the death of the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God on high. Look at Jesus' path of life. Looking to Jesus, what did he do? He patiently endured. He went through all of it. Read Psalm 22. Read Psalm 53. Or Isaiah 53, rather. See how the pain was. He endured. Looking to Jesus. Looked at him. I watched the Olympics last time they ran. Remember they had this big auditorium thing, this big arena called the what they call it, the birdcage, wasn't it? I got a kick out of the announcer. He said that these guys would get separated. The little faster ones were in front, a little less, a little less, a little less. But they were little groups. But he said every time every little group got in a turned a big turn, a big curve, and saw the birdcage, without exception, every group of them sped up. Looking to Jesus. Focus. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He commenced our dedication to Him. He commenced our discipleship. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before. What joy? He died. What joy is that? He knew what He was dying for. He died for me and you. He knew what that was, and it inspirited Him to keep going. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, I'm through preaching. Now, can I make an application? How's your faith? How's your faith? Do you have a constant and intimate association with the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. How's your faith? Do you endure? How's your faith? Has it inspirited your hope? Does it make things look better on every front? No matter what the difficulty is, does it mean you reach out to God and say, I'm here, Lord. Take me if I need to go. I'm here, Lord. Use me if you need to use me. Do what you will. I'm yours, Lord. That's what faith is all about. Man says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. If you've never obeyed the gospel, come on an obedient faith. Obey Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you owe some other duty to God, we can be of service to you. We cordially invite you to come. We'll not look down on you. We'll pray with and for you and make you a better disciple as we try to do the same ourselves. Would you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?